Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we are going to study mob reactions. Mob reactions are as volatile as a powder keg. People get so stirred up over things. And what we're going to do today is we're going to study mob reactions in the Bible to get a scriptural perspective on these reactions so that when we see others react, we can be objective about why they are doing what they're doing. You've seen mob reactions in the past. You're going to see them again in the future, and probably more so as we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to understand really what's underneath. What's common about mob reactions? You hear what the complaint is, but what's really going on? Mob reactions, first of all, are emotional. Look at Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, we're going to look at verse 32, but let's get the context because we're going to see this passage a couple of times. In Acts chapter 19, Paul, in verse 21, purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So in Asia, he's in Ephesus. Verse 23, at the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. So some people are getting stirred up, and it's not small, it's big. Verse 24, a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Now in verse 27, he complains. In verse 28, they are filled with wrath. In verse 29, the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel. They rushed with one accord into the theater. Verse 31, certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Why? It was dangerous. Now watch verse 32. Here's the first thing we're going to see. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Well, now they have a big thing, and they scream and holler about, great is the goddess Diana, of whom the image which fell from Jupiter, in verse 35, and so forth and so on. Verse 32 is where we want to start this understanding of mob reactions. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Mob reactions, first of all, are emotional. They're emotional. In Ephesus, when this mob gathered against Paul, and the more part knew not therefore why they were come together, you know what they did? They just got charged up. I mean, the crowd was building. The people were getting excited. The people were confused. There was a big commotion. You know how people are whenever they see a big commotion. They you know, like if you're driving down the interstate and there are flashing lights on the side of the road and there's an ambulance and there's a fire truck and maybe everybody's pulled way over onto the shoulder and there's no obstruction to the traffic. I mean, the place comes to a parking lot. I know you're supposed to slow down. If you're in a 75-mile-an-hour speed zone, I think you're supposed to slow down to 55-mile-an-hour and move over. But they're not doing that. They're slowed down to about 5 miles an hour so they can look. And what are they looking for? They're looking for, they don't know why, but they're looking to see what bad kind of thing happened. In other words, when you get a mob, you get commotion. When you get commotion, you get confusion. When you get confusion, a lot of holler and screaming, people start showing up, and they're like, what's going on here? And in verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another. They didn't know what they were doing there. They just got charged up with the rest of the crowd in the midst of vast confusion, verse 29 says. The whole city was filled with confusion. Now, when people react en masse, most of them are going on what they feel, not on what they know, because they really don't know what's all behind it. They know what they've been told, and they're stirred up about it, but they're just feeling it. Most of them don't have a clue why they're caught up in the heat of the situation they're in. They've just become angered. They're embroiled in a fight. And, you know, organizers of these kind of things stir up the spirit like a pep rally. They stir up the emotions of the mob because they know that we're emotional people. I mean, you just see how it goes in your household when you're having an argument with your spouse. If you get emotional and you lose your head, the argument gets carried away. Same with the crowd. Can you imagine if you just multiply that times 1,000 people and they've lost their head? They don't even know why they're as upset as they are. They just know they're upset and something bad has happened and they want something done about it, whatever it may be. And so mob reactions, you have to understand, first of all, are emotional. The second thing to understand about mob reactions are they're irrational. They're irrational. Look in John chapter 19. We'll come back to Acts chapter 19, but let's go to John chapter 19 and look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a crazy thing here. In John chapter 19, look with me at verse 14. It was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews. This is Pilate speaking to the Jews. Watch it. Behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, listen, when you consider the case against Jesus Christ, which required false witnesses, and they couldn't even agree among themselves, and you compare that case, I mean, Pilate said, I find no fault in this man at all. And you compare his case with all of the wonderful miracles he did for the Jews in 3.5 years of ministry, and you consider all of the prophecies from the Old Testament that he fulfilled, it makes absolutely no sense that the mob would call for his crucifixion. It makes no sense that they would acknowledge Caesar as their king and reject Christ. I mean, in the triumphal entry, they are even saying, behold the king. I mean, they are excited about Jesus Christ coming in and all that he had done. And they're crying out, Hosanna in the highest. And all these wonderful things. They say in Luke 19:38, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I mean, what happened? What happened is they were totally irrational. Caesar was not the king that they should have accepted. Jesus Christ, by all accounts, is the king they should have accepted. And the kingdom comes with Jesus Christ, and the Jews become the prevailing nation on the entire earth when Jesus Christ is their king and when he's accepted as their king. And instead, they turn down Jesus Christ. They take Caesar. Caesar eventually is replaced by Titus. And in 70 AD, the entire city, the entire country is wiped out. Everybody goes into the diaspora, and the temple is leveled to the ground. That's craziness. That's absolutely irrational. And in most cases, when people react, they're just as irrational. As the old saying goes, they're cutting off the nose to spite the face. The Jews made a terrible decision here. But why did they do it? Because mobs are irrational. They don't make rational decisions. They're emotional and they're irrational, but that's not all. They're insurrectional. Mob reactions are insurrectional. Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, and look with me at verse 12. All right. In Corinth, Paul was accused before a judge named Gallio. Acts chapter 18, verse 12. When Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." That's insane. He was not telling anybody to worship God contrary to the law. If anybody knew how to do the law and worship God, Paul did. He was showing him how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Verse 14, "And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O you Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names of your law, look you to it, for I will be no judge of such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Now watch it. "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of these things," or none of those things. So they get this big mob up, capture the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of Gallio, trying to get Gallio to move in their favor. Reactions, listen, mob reactions are emotional, they're irrational, and they are insurrectional. Now, insurrectional means tending to induce revolt against civil or political authority. Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul. Now, the idea is to get a large enough group with a large enough voice to apply enough pressure to a legislator or to a judge so that the vocal majority can persuade the authority in their favor, even though what they want may be illegal or maybe immoral, or many other bad things, like stupid. I mean, this is nothing more than mob rule. I mean, in our country, we have judicial rule, we have legislative rule, we have executive rule. This is mob rule. I mean, what you do, you just get more people stirred up to apply more pressure to weak legislators and judges. That's what they were trying to do in Acts chapter 18. But the mob met their match with Gallio. Gallio drove them from the judgment seat, and when they beat this guy, he didn't even react. Gallio cared for none of these things. He didn't even react. He just let it go. He wasn't going to budge. Now, you know, truly, more legislators and more judges need to be like Gallio and just follow the law rather than the demands of the mob. When the mob comes screaming and hollering and throws all kind of poles in their faces and gets up a big crowd and screams and makes insurrection, he ought to just say, "Look, but this is what the law says, and I'm going with the law." You know, the mob in an insurrection prefers weaker authorities like Pilate. Pilate, to them, was a pushover. They just kept applying the pressure until they did what he wanted. And when he couldn't stand it anymore, he finally gave in. Mob reactions are emotional. Mob reactions are irrational. Mob reactions are insurrectional. They're trying to get up enough people to revolt against civil or political authority. But that's not all. Mob reactions are also intentional. They're intentional. Look in Luke chapter 23. In other words, they're not just spawned out of an immediate instance. Somebody there who is provoking this thing and prolonging this thing has an agenda. Okay, and so he's taking advantage of the chaos and the mob reactions to further his cause. Look in Luke chapter 23, verse 14. Luke chapter 23, verse 14. All right, here's Pilate, and here's what he says to the chief priests and the rulers of the people. "You've brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I've examined him before you and found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I have sent you unto him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once. Here's the mob now getting stirred up. "They cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." So here's an innocent man staying in captivity. Here is a seditionist and a murderer who's already imprisoned being set free. Verse 20, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." So the mob's getting further stirred up. And he said unto them the third time, "Why, what evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I'll therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. So it's just totally illegal what Pilate did here. But he couldn't stem this group here. Every time he had anything to say, they just shouted him down more. I mean, at Jesus' trial, the people were crying, "Crucify him." And you know what? They didn't even know why. This crowd that's hollering, they don't even know why they're doing it. Like I said, they're emotional and irrational. They've been stirred up by some people who have an agenda to do what they're going to do. And you know what the problem was? The real motive of the chief priests, the ones that Pilate was initially addressing in Luke chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, the real motive of the chief priests was envy. The crowd didn't know that. They're just hollering, "Crucify him." Why? Because somebody told them to. Because somebody else was shouting. I mean, have you ever been at a ball game and somebody starts hollering at the ref? You don't even know the rule of the game. You don't know whether the ref made a right call or not, but the ref seems like a good target. So you and about 15 other people, "Come on, ref, can't you see?" You don't even know. You don't know the rules. You just know somebody else who sounded like he knew the rule shouted, so you figure, well, the best thing for me to do is shout along with him and get after the ref. Who doesn't want to get after the ref? You see what I'm saying? You don't know what the motive is. You don't even know if the guy knows what he's talking about. These guys didn't know what was going on. Mark chapter 15, verse 10 says that Pilate knew that the chief priest had delivered Jesus for envy. Well, envy had nothing to do at all with what, you know, the people who had been incited to holler for Jesus' death. I mean, if they had known the real reason of the instigators, they probably wouldn't have gone along with them. They didn't have any reason to envy Jesus Christ. They were happy Jesus had come to heal their people and do some other wonderful things. But then again, they were emotional and they were irrational, so you can't be sure if they'd have done it or not. In any case, when you see these mob reactions, oftentimes there are organizers there that have an agenda, and that agenda is rarely revealed to the masses. They don't know what's going on. I'll tell you one thing that's going on that's often the case in mob reactions. Not only are mob reactions emotional, irrational, insurrectional, intentional, but they are also financial. That's right. Financial. Look back with me in Acts chapter 19 where we started. And look at verse 24 again. Acts chapter 19, look with me at verse 24 again. "For a certain man, one man, named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. Verse 27, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. You know what they were worried about? They were worried about their money. They got this great temple there, and all these people come to see that temple, and then they come over there. He's not worried about them coming to see that temple. He's worried about them coming to see that temple so they can go next door to his craft shop and buy the silver shrines. That's what this was all about. And while many, listen, in a big riot, in a big mob reaction, while many suffer losses due to the reactions of emotional crowds and an insurrection, you can be sure that at the root of the trouble is somebody's pocketbook. Somebody's getting rich off the deal. And you need to be watching the money in these deals. And like they say, money answereth all things. That's what Solomon said. Follow the trail to the money if you want to know who's ultimately behind stirring up the trouble. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And money's involved in these many times. The mob reactions are financial. Let me ask you something. Didn't Judas Iscariot make a little money in his deal? Isn't he the one that started all this by the betrayal and landed it in the hands of the chief priest so they could get the whole mob thing going? You better believe money was right at the core of the problem with Jesus Christ, and it was right at the core of the problem with Paul. It was Demetrius, the silversmith. It was Judas Iscariot. Do you understand? Financial. Mob reactions are also political. Look in Acts chapter 21. In Acts chapter 21, Paul goes down to down to Jerusalem. And while he's down there, the Bible says in Acts chapter 21, verse 19, he saluted them, James and all the elders. He declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore, the multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Verse 27, when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying, Men of Israel, help. This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people. He never taught against the people. But that's what they said to stir up the crowd. And the law and this place. He never spoke against the temple. And further brought Greeks also into the temple and hath polluted this holy place. That was an outright lie. And then in chapter 23, in verses 7 through 10, we won't take the time to read it. Paul noticed there were Sadducees and Pharisees at his trial. One believed in the resurrection, the other didn't. So he said, I'm called into question for the hope and resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees and the Sadducees got in a big argument. The whole thing broke out, and they just about pulled Paul in two pieces. You know what the problem is? There's often a political objective in these unruly reactions. Someone is protecting his turf, or someone is trying to gain additional turf that he didn't have before. In this case, the Jews didn't want Paul encroaching on their turf with his Gentile doctrine, and thereby diminishing their following by those who still adhered to the law. They viewed Paul as a political threat, just like the chief priest viewed Jesus Christ as a political threat. In John chapter 11, in verse 47, Jesus Christ is the subject of a conversation after the resurrection of Lazarus. John 11:47, they gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Watch it. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Jesus was a political threat, and so was Paul. And a lot of times these mob reactions are political. I need to hurry. There are a couple of other things. Oftentimes these mob reactions are racial. Acts chapter 22, look at verses 21 and 22. Acts chapter 22, verses 21 and 22. Paul goes into Jerusalem. He is giving his own defense before the mob. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 21, he said unto me, that's he's given his testimony, the Lord said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. Now the audience was listening to Paul's defense in Jerusalem until he said one word, Gentile. And when he used that word, the crowd erupted and called for his death. And the odd thing is, Paul wasn't bigoted. He always went to the Jew first when he was preaching in a new area. But the Jews who reacted were bigoted. They hated Gentiles, and so they blew up when Paul mentioned that word. And if you study people's reactions internationally, they get really stirred up over tribal, cultural, national, and racial differences. Lots of emotional reactions are rooted in racial bias. Let me say finally about these mob reactions, they're punishable. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21, though hand join in hand, the wicked will not be unpunished. When you get a group applying pressure to legalize wickedness, they rejoice when they force the laws to change. But brother, there's coming a judgment day, and the mob will face their deeds at that judgment. Not only will they reap the consequences of their rebellion in this lifetime, but they will also face eternal damnation in the life to come. The mob may have gotten their way against Jesus at his crucifixion, but Jesus is going to have his way against the mob at the judgment. You know what he said? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Let me tell you something. Don't let riotous mobs persuade you or scare you. They don't know what they're doing. You follow Jesus no matter what the mob is doing, and you'll come out on the right side of the case every single time.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.